Don't you have some friends that tried to talk you out of that?
I don't know. I think they're really not my friends anymore. I think they're trying to get rid of me. So I finished Western States, and then 11 days later, I think it was, I went and ran Badwater.
How did you pull yourself together and tighten the screws to get that done, both mentally and physically? What did that week in between look like for you?
When I run 100 miles in the mountains, the next day I feel fine. When I run a 26-mile marathon on the pavement, my hips, I'm feeling it. I just love the trails. I love, even when I train for Badwater, I don't train on road. I train, you know, just like I would normally train.
Did you get pregnant during Badwater? Was this one of the UFOs?
No, no. And he looks like a Martian. He looks like he's a cowboy. See, I went back. I went back to the party.
Does he wear a cowboy hat?
Exactly.
I don't want to know the details.
You know what? Let's not go any further, okay?
Okay. Thank you for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name is Scott Warr.
I'm Don Freeman.
And I'm Faith Goss.
And today we have Shannon Farrar Griefer on the phone. Those of you who don't know who she is, you probably are wearing some of the clothing that she produces. She is the president and founder and all-weather designer guru of Mobin Outdoor Wear. I think I have like five or six different arm sleeves that her company has produced. Just to let you know, she's not only a fashion designer for the ultra runner, she's also a qualified trail runner. She has over 66 ultras under her belt, 17 100-mile events. She's finished Western States twice. She's run Badwater. Yes, she's run Badwater five times and is the first female in the galaxy to do a Badwater double. Thank you for joining us tonight, Shannon.
Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I didn't realize I did that many races. No wonder I'm tired.
Well, as a matter of fact, Shannon is on the phone in a hotel room because tomorrow she is running which 50-miler?
It's the Avalon 50. It'll be my sixth time running this race, and it's a great race to start the year, you know, to January. And as you know, I have a big year planned, so I'm kind of just looking at this one as my first official training run for my upcoming races, and it's nice because it's pretty close to home, and last year I was gone a lot, so it's nice to kind of be close to home, and I could bring my baby with me and just, you know, finish a race tomorrow and go have a nice dinner tomorrow night and just, you know, have a good outlook on the months ahead.
You know, Shannon, you just described what you're going to embark on tomorrow as a leisure, relaxing Saturday. That's not what you're doing. You're running a 50-mile race, for crying out loud. That's not relaxing.
You know what? It's 50 miles is pretty fun, actually. I think the 100 miles is where you have to look at a little more like, you know, you want to get a good night's sleep. The week, you know, the days before, you kind of, you know, try to eat more, try to get more rest. But for me, a 50-mile race, I mean, yes, it's 50 miles, and a lot of people say to me, 26 miles must not be anything for you. But, you know, 26 miles is still 26 miles. 50 miles is still 50 miles. But, you know, I kind of just go with the same attitude with all my races. I just want to have fun. I go in there and I give it my best. And I'm not the fastest runner, so I just go out there and I have fun. And I'm kind of like the one that if I see someone hurting, I offer to help them. You know, I'm like, I guess I don't have that real competitive bone in me or something, but I just, you know, I look at them as just going out and having a fun day out there.
You know what?
You know, the weather's going to be perfect, and
that is good. You just explained what the nation is all about, Shannon. It's about going out, having fun, pushing yourself, and helping your brother and sister out there if they're having a hard time.
That's what I love about the ultra running community. I think that it's the camaraderie is great, and just like I've seen a lot because, you know, I do a lot of races where, like, especially Badwater, you know, you need people out there to help you. And you have these people that are your friends that, you know, will take off time from work and away from their families, and they go out there and They feed you. They wipe throw up off your chin. They change your clothes. They lube you in places that they normally wouldn't lube you. and they're like, it's just great. I mean, like, Dina Castor was on my team last year, the year before last, and you know who she is. And Jen Shelton's been on my Badwater team for 3 years. And Cheryl, who's at Brazil right now doing the 135-mile race. I just have an amazing group of people that come back, and every year they want to come back. And I love that about the sport. I think it's probably my most special thing about ultra running is just the group of people, you know, and I love it because today I'm here and there's all these new faces that I've never seen before that are coming in. And it's just, it's nice to see that it's growing, you know?
Yeah.
Shannon, you have quite the impressive resume, but I'd like to know, what got you into running long distances? I mean, your first marathon, correct me if I'm wrong, your first marathon was at age 35, and then you completed your first ultra at age 39. Where did you get your start?
You know what? It's funny, but I had my first son, Mo, at 29, and my second son, Ben, which is my company's named after Mo and Ben, Mo Ben, at 32. And then I just kind of like couldn't lose weight from the pregnancy and just, you know, I was watching the marathon one day, nursing my son and wondering why I can't lose weight. And I was watching the LA marathon. I'm like wondering, why would anybody want to run 26 miles? And the next day I'm in the market and I pick up this running magazine and I'm, you know, just kind of going through the pages and I see this little ad for Leukemia Society. It was a little girl, bald head girl. It said, run for me. And so I contacted them and they, you know, they provide you with a coach, you raise money. So I ran I trained to run my first marathon. And back then I like really trained. I was really good. I was, you know, I did everything right. And, so I ran LA Marathon and it was pouring rain. I ran a couple more, you know, once you run during the race, you're like, I'm never going to do this again. I hate it. But the minute you finish, when's that next one?
Yeah.
So you know how that is, right? And so, I was looking for my next one and then just started running more marathons and then got into triathlons a little bit, but I realized it's the running that I love. And what got me into the longer distance is, like at mile 20 where everyone's hurting and the wall, my body starts to feel good at mile 20. So it's like at mile 20, I start to kick in and I feel great. And I love just that's where I feel like I'm ready to go. And, you know, people are kind of just slowing down and I'm ready to go. So I looked into ultra running and ran Bulldog and I did like a 540, my first 50K and then did Ridgecrest and then jumped into the 50 mile. And then instead of going into a 100K, I just said, you know what, I'm going to go for the 100 mile. And I did Rocky Raccoon, my first 100 I finished. And then it started from there and I love it. Every year I kind of want to just do more challenging hundreds as opposed to doing the same one. Like last year I attempted the slam, but I made a big mistake and that was throwing Badwater into the loop. And, I feel confident with Badwater because I've done it so many times and I just feel like I know how to run that race and I go out there, I want to buckle all the time. But it's not smart when you're doing the slam and it's not smart when it's the Monday before the Saturday Vermont 100.
that's what I'm thinking. Don't you have some friends that are tried to talk you out of that?
I don't know. I think they're really not my friends anymore. I think they're trying to get rid of me.
Hey, Shannon, let's describe what the Grand Slam is, because there's some folks out there that may not know.
Okay, the Grand Slam is Western States in June, and the Vermont is in July. August is Leadville, and September is Wasatch. They're all 100-mile races. They're what I guess would be considered pretty tough 100-mile trail runs in, you know, the United States, and I will validate that they are. So I finished Western States, and then 11 days later, I think it was, I went and ran Badwater. At mile 92, my crew decided that I was done since I lost 10 pounds in the race, and the color of my urine wasn't really healthy. We'll just leave it at that. So anyway, like around mile 72, I was pulled out of the race, and then they let me get back because I was able to urinate, and I sat for about 4 hours, which is something you don't want to do during a race. But I got back on course, and I just couldn't eat, and I couldn't drink water. I couldn't chew ice. So at mile 92, that was it for me. That was Tuesday. Wednesday, I came home drove home Thursday. I got on a plane. I flew to Vermont, and I finished the 100 mile that Saturday.
Wow.
So,
oh
but it's just weird how, like, either you have a great day or you don't. So, yeah. And Vermont, oh, my gosh, I had no idea it would be that hilly. But I had a great team. I had Maria and my friend Kat pacing me, and it was just, you know, we made it fun. It was three girls. We looked at it, three girls out all night.
I want to rewind a little bit here and talk about the Badwater experience, and then in very short order, finding yourself traveling across the country and entering a 100-mile event. How did you pull yourself together and tighten the screws to get that done, both mentally and physically? What did that week in between look like for you?
I don't think my body had a chance to kind of go back to normal and then start up again. I think I was still in kind of race mode, or still just kind of, you know, just no one likes a DNF. You know, I've had a few, so it feels so bad that I knew that I was going to go to Vermont. I had horribly blistered. I mean, my feet were just like hamburger meat from Badwater. And the hardest part, honestly, being in California and flying to the East Coast, was the time change.
Right.
And that race starts at 4 a.m. So it's really 1 a.m. for me. And, you know, I missed Monday night sleep while I was running Badwater. So I went in really beat up, but it was kind of good training for Leadville and Washington, getting myself beat up a little bit. But you know what? I came home. I just couldn't regroup after those three events, you know, so close together and losing the weight and my stomach. I've never had stomach problems, and I did this year. So I went into Leadville, and my crew, my wonderful crew that I love so much, I've never relied on crew to for my drop bags. For my clothes, I've always had them in my drop bags just because of this reason. So my crew was supposed to meet me at the turnaround. You know, I went up and over Hope's Pass, which is like 14,000 feet. I was doing great. I was perfect where I wanted to be on time. And then going up over Hope's Pass on the way back, you know, it's like 14,000 feet. It started raining. You get these, you know, Colorado rains, which are like major thunderstorms. And my crew wasn't at that aid station with my clothes. So I sat there for about an hour, and then I realized I just have to get out of there. So I had shorts on, wet t-shirt, and I headed back up and over the mountain. My pacer Cheryl caught me, but she was, you know, already a little bit too late because I was already, I think, hypothermic. But anyway, so I found out that my crew, they were at a pub playing with the shuffleboard.
Oh no!
And they were in third place, so they were trying to get that first place.
Well, that's important. That's valid. That's a valid excuse.
You know what? I give them credit because they were competitive. They wanted to go from third. When you're in third, you're going to go for that. You're not going to come. You're not going to leave.
So what's the outcome on the shuffleboard? That's what I want to know.
Did they get the first place trophy?
No, they didn't even get first. I was more upset. You know. I think they won like a pitcher of beer or something.
Did they share the pitcher with you?
Exactly. Oh, but anyway, so I got hypothermic, came home, and even though I knew I was out of the slam, I wanted to go to Wasatch anyway just to see. And I had a feeling like my chances of finishing were slim because I was just so far behind the eight ball at this point. But I wanted to see what the course was going to be like because I am attempting the slam again this year, but I'm going to actually be smart and not run Badwater, I don't think.
Yeah,
that little disclaimer, I don't think.
Badwater is so close to States. It's just right around the corner from it.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, it's so hard for me to get out and train and do what I used to do because of my four-year-old baby and my four-year-old baby, Moban, my company.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to commit to going out like I used to and going out on the course and, you know, meeting Jorge Pacheco and all these great runners and trying to, you know, stay up with them, which you can't do. But going out, you know, on Angeles Crest on Saturday and running, you know, doing like a 30 or 40 or, you know, 50-mile training run on Saturday and then doing like a 10-mile on Sunday, I just can't do that anymore. So what I try to do now is what I was doing last year was taking Western, the mileage from Western, to take it into Badwater, you know, running Badwater not so fast where I'd be so thrashed for Vermont, and then using Vermont for Leadville and Leadville for Wasatch. Because if I didn't run Badwater, I think that would have been a pretty, you know, good strategy for me. That's how everyone's different, but that's how I do better as opposed to trying to do longer runs training. I kind of do better just resting and just I don't need to do the high mileage anymore with my training, which is great because I really can't. I'd love to, but I can't, you know.
Do you have any tricks for the trade in terms of, you brought up rest right there. I mean, how do you transition between these runs? And you talked about, you know, Badwater going to Vermont. Are there any secrets? Like, how do you get your muscles ready for that? You take ice baths? What do you do?
You know what? I don't. I used to. I don't anymore. And I used to do all the, you know, salt pills. And once in a while I will. But I try to use natural, like, you know, salted pretzels and peanut butter pretzels and try to use the foods and stuff like that. And I think less is more in trail running these days. I mean, you see all the minimalist stuff coming through. And I think that for me personally, I recover really quick. That's where I think I'm lucky. I recover really quick. They've done like medical research on me at Western States twice and Badwater once. And the year they did the medical research on me at Badwater was in 2006. And they took blood at the start and then four times during the race and then at the finish. And then the last minute I told my crew, I gave them this little container. I said, guess what? They want my urine. So every 4 hours, they're going to come pick this jug up. And they're like, what? I said, you didn't read that in the small print and crew instructions. And then they would put like these patches on me. Anyway, so they came back. They said, you put like zero stress on your body. I weighed 118 at the start. I finished at 118. I just had a great race. So they were testing like a 5K runner, 10K, all the way up, and they said, our 5K runner put more stress on your body? So, of course, I have to look at it like, maybe I didn't run hard enough. But anyway, I said, no kidding, because 2 weeks later I came home pregnant at 45 years old. So I got pregnant 2 weeks after running Badwater at 45, so it was kind of strange. Right.
Tell us a little bit about Badwater, because not everybody knows, and there's a great movie out there. What is it? Running on the Sun?
I think a few have been made. It's a great race. I think it's probably Western States and Badwater are just like my, oh my gosh, if you want to get into ultra running, you want to do a mountain run, Western States. You want to do a road run, Badwater. Badwater is 135 miles through Death Valley. It's held in July. It's known to be the world's toughest race, foot race. Because I think the heat, the elements, you know, you're on pavement, you have three mountain ranges, you start at 282 feet below sea level, you finish at 8,000 feet, and it's brutal. The heat will, can, you know, beat you up a little bit, and the blisters.
How many pairs of shoes did you melt off?
You know what? And it actually, that's true. They do actually melt. You can look behind and see your shoes behind you.
Oh, my.
When I ran the double, I went through seven pairs of shoes. But now I just go through one or two. And what I do now, I don't want to give away my secrets, but I cut out the toe box because maybe around mile 90 you get a little swollen. So I cut out the toe box of a pair of shoes, so I have those available. But I can get through with one, you know, or maybe two.
What shoe are you wearing?
Well, Asics has been wonderful, and I've been wearing the Asics for the past 2 years. And prior to that, I'm pretty, you know, I'm a mule. I could pretty much wear anything, but Asics I've been loving that I've been running in the. I wear the same shoes for Western and Badwater, and they're great. And it's funny because, like, I'm so untraditional that I. Driving to Western States last year, I'm driving and I realize that I don't have shoes with me as I'm driving up there. So I stop at a running store and buy a pair of shoes to run the race in. And my friends were laughing at me because race morning, I'm taking the shoes out of the box.
Oh, no.
So everything I'm doing, I don't want people to
do as I say, not as I do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you know, you are, I would say, a veteran of Badwater. For those of our listeners that are possibly attempting some hotter races this summer, how do you train for the heat? How do you acclimatize for the heat?
How I trained for my first Badwater was I got into a sauna about a month before, and I would train in a sauna with a big jug of water, and I would just drink water. I would try to just like process fluids and drink and pee and drink and pee and just run in the sauna, you know, and place in the sauna at the gym. And I started, you know, like at 10 minutes, and I worked myself up to like 40 minutes in the sauna, and it was about 160 degrees. So, you know, I felt like I went in pretty acclimated to Badwater, and I felt like that was really key to train for that race. What I would do now is instead of getting up at 6 or 7 or 8 to run, I would, you know, start my run at noon, you know, in the peak, you know, the heat of the day. And it's all about heat training, I think, for Badwater and getting your feet really conditioned for, you're going to get blisters and you're going to feel the pavement. I personally, when I run 100 miles in the mountains, the next day I feel fine. When I run a 26-mile marathon on the pavement, my hips, I'm feeling it. I just love the trails. I love, even when I train for Badwater, I don't train on road. I train, you know, just like I would normally train. But for people that are interested, runners that want to run Badwater, definitely heat training back-to-back I find is really essential, you know, in all ultra events, but back-to-back is great. You know, you can train your muscles to work when they're fatigued. If you do like a 30-mile one day and the next day, you know, do a 10-mile, and I think that's really important. Hydrating, learning how to, you know, and training using the right foods. Like at Badwater, you think that you love this food that you've been training with. You want to have a variety out there because after about 30 miles, you never want to see that again. You never want to see cantaloupe. You never want to see a peanut butter jelly sandwich. You never want to see, you know, so a variety of foods is always important, I think, and having a great crew. Oh, my gosh, that's everything, because my crew, I could never, when I ran the Badwater Double, I had Denise Jones as my crew captain, and she's like the blister. What she can do to feet is just, it's a miracle. So she was on my team, and I think, honestly, that's why I finished that, because having someone that knows how to take care of feet that are just hammered and blistered, and you have blood oozing through your shoes, I mean, it's really nasty what your feet, you know, look like after. But just, you know, training with the foods that you're going to eat and having a great crew and having a crew that just, like, I have the Mobin girls. I have Jen Shelton and Maria and Cheryl and Dina Castor, and I have, like, the most amazing people on my team that I think that's it, because when you're hurting and you have your crew making you laugh or telling you you look good even though, you know, they're lying, but it helps, you know, it really makes a big difference.
Aside from your crew, how do you get through the mental low spots that you might experience out on the road or out on the trail?
I personally run for charity, and so I volunteer also at the Children's Hospital in Los Angeles, and there's always going to be that one child that's going to say something to me that's going to get me through when I'm hurting. And I know that, like, I can quit anytime during a 100-mile race or through Badwater when I feel fatigue and I feel pain and I want to just quit and stop and everything hurts, and I just know the children that I run for, they can't quit when they hurt or they're feeling fatigue, and I think of them. I had this one little boy named Michael. I was volunteering at the Ronald McDonald House, and this little boy comes over. He lost his leg to cancer. He was 10 years old. His name's Michael, and he's like, Shannon, are you still running those 100-mile races? I said, yeah, and it's always the typical question. He's like, when do you eat? I said, well, we have aid stations along the course. He goes, where do you go to the bathroom? I go, Michael, wherever we want. and he goes, when do you sleep? I said, we sleep when we're done. He goes, you run through the night? I said, we run through the night. And he goes, you run through the night? And he looks at me and goes, wow, will you promise me you'll never give up? I'm like, okay, here's a boy, you know, that lost his leg to cancer. So it's like, I think of that, you know, like,
wow.
So that's my motivation. And my kids, you know, I love my kids, and they're like, you know, they're so proud of me. I have a 21-year-old, an 18-year-old, and a 4-year-old, and my two older boys are in college, and my son Mo's at USC, and my son Ben's at Moore Park, and then I have one in preschool, and you know, they're like, their friends are like, oh, your mom's cool, she can run 100 miles. So it's like, I gotta stand up to that now. Right? All the pressure.
Yeah, right.
Right?
You know, when you're out there deep into the miles, and you know what I'm talking about, when you're kind of down to the core, right, you really strip everything away when you're in the element, and the only thing is you and a finish line, and whatever is barking at you, whether it's your feet or your knee or your leg or your stomach or your head or whatever it is, just those internal voices just shouting. And it's at those times that I feel closest to my own immediate family, that I appreciate them so much and just realize how much I do care for them and love them. And I'm away from them, but their love never feels closer than when I hit those real tough, tough parts of a run. And I like visiting that emotion because I think it's healthy for me.
Yeah, I think that's great. But sometimes you get a little homesick when you're kind of like that. Because when you say that, like, that makes me think, oh my gosh, I too want to be. It's also kind of, it plays both ways because it's like, well, I want to be home, right?
You're right. I've run across, like, I have two daughters. They're 13 and 10. And I've run across a dad that's hanging out with his two daughters that look to be 13 and 10. And I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing out here, you know?
Yeah.
He's skipping along with they're going out and feeding the ducks on this beautiful trail, and here I am selfishly running. But
they're also motivating you because you know you want to go home, and they're going to be so proud of you when you bring that buckle home or that medal. I know it's hard, but like at Wasatch, I really had a hard time. I was really homesick. Like, it really beat me up mentally. Just, I want to be with my baby. And, you know, I kept doing, like, you beat yourself up a little bit. Like, he's four and I'm gone. Am I gone too much? But it's true. Like, you tap into your soul. That's what it's about. It's like when everything is just stripped, you're so tapped in. Don't you feel that? Like, you're just, you could touch your soul with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're just, everything is gone. And what is it that just makes you want to continue on? And you know, it's that I think it takes a certain type of person or something that just, I don't know, like I know a lot of people that quit, you know, and I mean, I've quit before and it hurts. You live with that forever. But I think having your kids, and I mean, if that's where you can go, that's great, and I go there too. But sometimes lately it's been like, oh my gosh, I'm homesick. But I think that's really important to have something that you can go, a place that you can go to that's going to get you through, you know?
Right. Well, I think, you know, back to seeing the father with those kids along the trail, that I think it's healthy to realize that when you're present at home, that you need to be, you know, conscious about what's going on, right? Because there's a lot of people that never do anything but stick right around that home that they're really never there. And so I think it's okay to be away and do something that sets a good example of a healthy lifestyle, of accomplishing things that seem impossible, and then come back and make sure you're 100% there when you're there. I think there's a place for both. So I don't think we should beat ourselves up. And here I am. I can rationalize anything.
Okay, I just threw my BlackBerry in the toilet and my computer, okay? Because now I'm feeling guilty.
No, don't feel guilty, because when you get back, it's going to be wonderful.
What?
Hey, can we talk about, we don't want to get too philosophical. Can we talk about a double Badwater? What are you thinking? A double Badwater. Shannon.
Okay.
Was this the first time you ran Badwater? Or
I did it my first time, because I'll tell you right now,
what?
I would never run Badwater if I ran it one time, because I had, ignorance is bliss. It's like, I had no idea what I was in for, you know? It was like, oh my God. And it was so great because, again, I had an amazing team. I had Denise Jones, I had Kari, I had Jay, I just had great people to support me. I had my family come out, and then my crew wouldn't let them stay because I started getting a little punchy. But it was funny because I got a flat tire driving to the start. Can you imagine? So I start the race with one handheld. I hitchhike to the race, okay?
Badwater, one handheld? I mean, this is a race
one
you need
handheld,
fluid.
Yeah, and so the race director was really cool. He was like, Shannon needs some help because her crew car has a flat tire. So I had to wait like 5 hours till my crew came to me. But anyway, Marshall Erwitt said, when I told him that, he goes, it's going to be a good race. You know, that's how we look at things. We look at any excuse, right? So I kind of broke it up. I said, okay, it's my first time running Badwater. I'm just going to run Badwater and see what happens. But in the back of my head, I was doing the double. So I ran Badwater, and my pacer, Jay Gropson, who ran it the year before, wanted me to buckle and double. But Denise, my crew captain, thank God, she said, you know, Shannon's doing a double. You have 60 hours to run this race. She's doing it 59:59. And I'm like, no, I'm not. No kidding. I said, anyway, I did 51 hours. But I kick myself that I was 3 hours away from buckling and doubling to this day, whatever, 11 years later. See how we are? So anyway, so I did the race, 51 hours. And then they wouldn't let me up the mountain right away because they were having thunderstorms. So I didn't sleep. I was up for about a half hour, and then summited the mountain. We started at 2 a.m. But I didn't want to get too comfortable. Like, I didn't want to rest and get comfortable. And because if you start getting comfortable, you're like feeling good ain't so bad. So, you know, being comfortable is not so bad. So I didn't want to get too comfortable. We retaped my feet. We summited up to Mount Whitney. And then my crew got sick up there. So I came down with one guy and we got lost. I like twisted my ankle in this creek and I came down. I was pretty beat. So we went, drove from the portals to the hotel, which is about 11 miles away, retaped my feet. My crew was thinking, okay, she's going home. Her family misses her. She's going home. And I'm like, we're doing the double. And they're like, what? No, you're not. You're resting. I said, no, we're doing the double. Because I didn't want to have too much downtime. Because you don't want that. You just want to keep going. Like, that was why I went to Vermont. I'm like, okay, I don't want to get into that comfortable place. I need to stay out of my comfort zone. Because once you step out of that, then it's hard to get back into that, you know, other place. So we went back to the portals, and we just ran back. And the only problem with that was during going out was the race. So it was fun. You had all those runners, and going back, it was like, wait a minute, where's everybody? You know, it was just me and my crew, and actually Marshall Earl, which was out there, and a guy named Chris Moon, who I thought I was having pain out there with little blisters. He ran it with a prosthetic leg, okay, and a prosthetic arm. So it's always like, I always think that I'm hurting, but I always have to look at someone else. And that's what I think, like, the children that I run for is really key to, they're my motivation. They're, you know, that's who keeps me moving. I raised a lot of money for children with cancer when I ran the Badwater Double. So, you know, I was committed to all these people that made donations, and, you know, just, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's not just putting your sneakers on and going out for a run. There's a lot of little things that go into it, you know?
Shannon, people ask, well, how do you run a marathon? How do you run a 30K, a 50K, 100, you know, you name the distance. And much like what I'm hearing with your double Badwater, which I still can't wrap my mind around, is that if you set your mind to A to B, you can conceive and you can make yourself do it. You stretch yourself to whatever the distance is, your body figures out how to do it, or your mind does. I know if I ran a 50K, I'd say the last step was my last step. That's all I wanted to do. But if it was 100 mile, I would get to the end of that 100 mile and feel equally as fatigued at the end of that race too.
So what do you say? Like if you, how do you go from one jump to the next level?
No, I think I was just talking.
Oh, okay.
I think I was just saying, like, your double marathon, a double Badwater. You did not let yourself, from the very beginning, it was in the back of your head that you're going
to
complete it.
I knew I wanted to do that, yeah.
And then if you made the decision when you were at the top, I'll decide when I'm at the top whether I'm going to turn around and go back down. The answer would have been, heck no, I'm not doing that. But from your
really,
very first step.
I kind of looked at it like, hey, it's downhill, right?
Well, yeah, could be.
I have 146 miles of downhill. That sounds good to me.
I think a lot of that course is flat.
No, that's pretty, that tough. That course is, wow, going up Towns Pass, it's like a 17 or 16 mile climb up, and it's just like your legs are, oh my God, your quads are just shot, because you have pretty much flat up until that point, which is, you know, you get to Stovepipe Wells, it's mile 42, and so you kind of run it, you know, just you want to get out of the heat, but you want to run conservatively, but then you have this climb, and then you have like this 14 mile downhill into Panamint, and your quads are just shot. Oh my God, it's just like, and you're hallucinating, and it just, oh my gosh, every little step, your blisters, you can just feel them ready to pop, and you're like, oh God, they're going to pop, and I don't know. Why do we do this?
What's What's the craziest, wildest thing you've ever hallucinated?
When I did the Badwater Double, it's always a Badwater. When I did the Badwater Double, I had like three back in 2001 when I ran the double. Now it's a little more strict. You can only have one pacer with you at a time. But back then I had like three people with me. And I was picking my leg up and over, right? And I'm like running with my leg up and over, almost like hurtling. And my crew's like, Shannon, what are you doing? I'm like, don't step on the lava, you guys, there's lava. And what it was, you know, the black tar that fills in the cracks, I thought that was lava flowing. So I was putting my, and then my whole crew was doing it. Because happens is when you start losing your mind like that, your crew has to know that, don't let her think she's losing her mind.
Right.
Just go with it, right? Just go with it. And then one time going to the finish line at Badwater, I could have sworn there was a cowboy guy that was totally trying to pick up on me, like he was kind of leaning against his post. He was really cute. And he was leaning up against his post, and Jorge Pacheco was pacing me. I'm like, Jorge, how come we're not invited to that party over there? He's like, oh, he got it. He goes, we'll go to the party after you finish. And like UFOs, like around like at Badwater, because you know, the roads up there, and they turn and they have those reflectors.
Right.
That was totally a UFO.
Shannon, those weren't hallucinations. Those were real UFOs.
I know. I know. They were trying to pick me up. They're like, get that girl with the shorts on. Pick her up. Bring her over here.
So from master hallucinator to ultra runner to corporate, just businesswoman, tell us a little bit about Mobin. How did that company get started?
Oh gosh, it was supposed to be a hobby, a fluky little fun thing that I would just make a few pairs of sleeves here and there and bring them to my next ultra event. What happened was I was pregnant. I got pregnant at 45 years old, 2 weeks after Badwater, I told you, and I was running a little bit and 20 miles pregnant. And
hold on just a second, Shannon. Did you get pregnant during Badwater? Was this one of the UFOs?
No. And he looks like a Martian.
Abducted.
He looks like he's a cowboy.
She was abducted.
See, I went back. I went back to the party.
Does he wear a cowboy hat?
Exactly.
I don't want to know the details.
You know what? Let's not go any further, okay?
Okay. Go ahead. You can finish.
Right?
You can go and answer the
question. Don't get me started. What? Oh, no. I got pregnant 2 weeks after Badwater. I went to Tahiti to let my feet heal, and I came home pregnant. And so when I called Lisa Henson, you know, from Ultra Running Magazine, and Tia Bodington, who were on my crew that year, I'm like, I'm pregnant. They're like, no, you're not. You just ran 135 miles. And they're like, you're too old. Anyway, so at 7 months, because my doctor didn't like that I was running, he's like, you're on strict bed rest. So I'm sitting in my bed going, oh my God, what am I going to do for 2 months? And I would always think, like when we would train, we were always thinking, what does the ultra running community need? What are we missing? And I loved wearing, like, you know, we'd start in the snow, like when I was training in Angeles Crest, we'd start in the snow, we'd end up, you know, 3 hours later in intense heat. So you'd wear, like, we'd wear socks on our arms or those old bike warmers that were like in black or whatever. So I've had like a lot of skin cancer scares on a couple on my arm and a couple on my chest. So as I'm in bed and bed rest, I'm thinking, okay, how about some arm warmers that have UV protection and that are cute, not that ugly old black, drabby, boring, whatever, right? So I started looking at all these fun fabrics and UV fabric. And so I had a few pairs made, and we would test them. I would give them to Jorge. I would give them to all these runners and say, go out there and run with these. Tell me what you like. And we always can use pockets in ultra running. You know that, right? We can, like,
right.
You can never have too many pockets. So I put a little pocket on it. And my baby was born April 30th. The Western States race was June. So after testing him for a little bit, I called Greg, the race director. I said, hey, Greg, is it okay if I make like 30 pairs and give them to some runners and see what they think about these arm sleeves that I think I might just start making? He goes, well, you really should give them to all the runners. So I found this woman that was going out of business, and I said, hey, can you sell like 400 pairs of arm sleeves? She was so happy. She's like, sure. So I gave them to all the runners and put their logo on it. And like a week later, I'm getting phone calls and emails. Hey, Shannon, I just ran Western States, and I own a store in Colorado, a running store, and I want to order your sleeves. Hey, Shannon, all this stuff, like all these phone calls. I'm like, oh no, because I didn't know what to do. I'm like, oh my God, where do I get fabric? But I winged it. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, whatever you want. And they're like,
we'll ship
by
Friday.
Exactly. Oh my God. But meanwhile, I'm sitting there, oh my, nursing my baby going, oh my God, what do we do? And it kind of just turned out into this crazy business. And I made all the clothes for like the Biggest Loser. And we were voted by the New York Times as the favorite arm sleeve, beating Nike and Pearl Izumi and Smart Wool. And it's just been a real fun little, not hobby, but I have like a full line now. We have running shorts and skirts and dresses, and it's been, you know, it's a lot of work. And if you ask why my training's not as great as it used to be, and that just explained why.
You
right?
know, there are so many runners around here because we have Way to Cool here, and you've put some of those in the swag bags with Julie Fengar's races,
yeah.
And there are so many people out here that are just wearing those Mobin arm sleeves.
Oh, thank you.
I pulled
that
on a set.
Makes me feel good. Thank you.
What? Yeah, I pulled on a set the other day. And they are just so comfortable. You know, I was wearing a competition, okay? I had another set because I had a couple different things in my drawer, right? But I went back and pulled on the Mobin armbands, and I said, why? These things are just awesome. They just feel right when they slide over your arms, and they're comfortable.
Thank you, yeah.
Right up by the armpit.
I use really good fabric. We
yeah.
make everything here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I'm a real big advocate for giving back to the community, and I love my
yes.
ultra running community. I think, you know, ultra running's been so wonderful for my life. It just, you know, it's like a metaphor for life, running these distances, and I just, you know, Way Too Cool. Julie's great, and, you know, I sponsor a lot of races, and, you know, I want everyone to love Mobin because I really love it. I feel like I've done a lot of research on great fabrics, and I try to make the best, you know, arm sleeve, and hopefully that's coming across.
Hey, I've got a tip. As what I learned, because I had dropped a couple, which is good for sales for you. So maybe I shouldn't
yeah.
say this, but
yeah, in fact, there I have a couple out there on the trail too. If anybody comes across some black ones,
a right arm.
Yep.
Wait
yes.
a minute. If there, you don't have to have a right or left. They go either way.
I told Scott that. But you wear an Amphipod or something, some kind of belt,
yeah.
right? A fuel belt, and then I just put those sleeves not around it, but inside. You know, like I put that belt and.
Go, thread it
through, thread
it right?
through, yeah, and so
oh,
it
wow.
just wraps around, and so I never lose
oh,
it.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, so it was a good little thing that, you know, that happens when you're trying to figure
yeah.
out what to do with them.
I mean, what's great about them too is, like, instead of taking them off, you can just roll them down, because I was
mm-hmm.
that's my biggest thing was when I was wearing the other, just the cycling warmers that I was wearing before, and you couldn't really roll them down. They were kind of bulky, so
yeah.
I found fabric, you know, this fleece that I use, that you can kind of slide down. And I mean, people wipe their nose with them. You know, there's many uses.
Yeah. In fact, that's what I do for heat regulation is up and down. Is running out there in some of the environments that sometimes
mm-hmm.
you need them, sometimes you don't, and there's just great heat regulation down by the
and
wrist.
And you know what's cool, too, is like the fleece ones. I don't know which ones you have, but I'll send you some, too. But the fleece ones are really good in the summer, because what we do is – both, you know, the fleece and the nylon, but you take them off, dip them in water, or just douse them with water. But the fleece will keep you cooler longer because it's a heavier fabric, so water stays in there longer. So that's a little tip, okay? Because I wore those in bad water, the fleece ones, and people are like, fleece? I'm like, no, I'm going to drench them in water.
Awesome.
And runners started doing that. And so now we do leg sleeves too for bad water. I, you know, launched my leg sleeves out there. And that's like probably the best field to launch a new product from Mobin, which is a UV, you know, fun, functional.
Jimmy Dean little. Freeman from your
he's
area.
I love him.
Yeah, isn't he great? He's comes
the
on
best.
The show quite
him,
a bit.
Kate was on my team last year. Kate Freeman.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is she motivated?
She was my one girl last year on my pacer. Oh, my God. She is. And look at what she's running. Oh, my God.
She's
both
running
of them.
Angeles Crest. They're both running Angeles Crest this year.
Yeah, but they're doing so good. Jimmy is just doing. He is, like, amazing. Those guys, I love them. And, you know, they're so great because they give back so much
they do,
and they're
right.
helping other runners. And
mm-hmm.
that's what I love about the community. Yeah, you know what? I've seen it change over the years. Like, it's becoming a little more competitive, you know, you get a little more elite kind of things going on here and there. But still, it's really a great community of people that support each other. And, you know, you're out there. And when people are hurting, you know, you get people that care, I think, you know.
I brought up Jim.
Right?
I brought up Jimmy Dean because he was out here running in the heat in August at Rio del Lago.
Uh-huh.
And he was wearing some Mobin arm sleeves, and
yeah.
they were probably the fleece. And I thought, this man's crazy because
yeah.
it's hot out here, but he kept drenching him with water and used it as heat control. And he said, this is a lesson from bad water, brother. So
yeah, that's right. Jimmy Dean and Kate were my models for, we were featured on, I think it was either INLA or Kate, like one of them so we had all my models and Kate and Jimmy. They're great people. They really are.
So Shannon, the question that we have for you, what is your outfit for tomorrow's race?
I'm wearing my black Mobin shorts and a black performance shirt, Mobin, and a little like a little neck wrap that can be worn a million different ways, like a beanie, a neck wrap, cover your face if it's windy, in bamboo. And I'm looking at it right now on my clothes. I'm wearing pink and black zebra arm sleeves, and socks and shoes.
You've got Faith smiling over here. She is a fashionista.
Okay, you tell me what size you are. I'm going to send you some amazing stuff. We're doing all these great clothes right now, and we're doing a lot of eco stuff too. So I'm really, really excited for what's ahead with MoBen.
She could easily join your team.
My MoBen girl.
Your MoBen girl. She could be a MoBen girl.
You know what's funny is, like, you kind of know when you're almost making it on the map is when I went and I ran Javelina. Oh, that was another one I just did a couple months ago, the Javelina 100 in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's kind of like a Halloween theme, because prior to, like, I guess 2 years ago, they had it like on Halloween, the full moon and stuff. So everyone would dress in costume. So guys were guys were dressed as MoBen girls.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Isn't that great? Hey, to my friend Chris, I go, you look good in a dress.
Hey, Shannon, how does it feel to be just running up against, you know, somebody on the trail? They're a total stranger. You don't know them yet. And you see them wearing your gear. What does that feel like?
I think kind of like Madonna when she heard Like a Virgin the first time on the radio.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I've got to think that's very satisfying.
You feel like great. You're like, oh my God, that's me. I feel great because I put so much hard work into this. Like, people think that we just sew things, but so much goes into it. And my reward is exactly what you just said. You know, I feel like, all this hard work is being paid off. I feel like that. It's an amazing feeling. It's hard to explain. It's like a buckle.
If someone wanted to check out, we'll link your website, no doubt from trailrunnernation.com. But what is your website address? Can you tell us that? So if they want to get there.
MoBen.com, and we're actually going to do a MoBenShop.com, but we're also in, you know, a couple stores, Roadrunner Sports, we're in Zombie Runner, great store, Roadrunner, we're in Fleet Feet, we're in, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have started.
No, it's great, we're glad you did.
I'm going to get a phone call. I can't believe you didn't mention me.
Oh, you know, we're so glad.
I'm canceling that order. What?
we're glad you put the product out there. We're very glad that you were pregnant at 45, so you'd have some time to think about, you know, building this company, because it's great gear, and, you know,
and we
love the MoBen girls.
We had you on for a number of different reasons, but the number one reason is we realize that you have the attitude of a nation member, that you have given back to the community, and we all appreciate it. Like I said, I think there's so many, there's probably thousands and thousands of people that have received your arm sleeves in a swag bag, or have used your products, and we want to thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. That's so nice. I'm going to have a great race because of this conversation tonight.
Cool.
Well, good luck tomorrow. We wish you the best. We'll be thinking of you. Remember, you'll have some trail brothers and sisters. They'll be doing some training runs while you're out there pushing it to the limits.
Probably wearing your arm warmers.
Thank you, too, for everything that you do for the sport as well, you know.
You bet. I'm going to put on some MoBen armbands tomorrow as I do a training run. So I'll be thinking about you at 5 a.m. when I'm slipping them on over
my
elbows.
All right. And then just slide them down when it gets a little warm. And when that sun starts shining, pull them up, because that's the biggest thing, too. You want to protect your arms from the sun.
Right on.
I wish I would. I wish I would have known that 20 years ago.
There you go. Well, thanks again, Shannon. Get a good night's rest and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Members that are listening to the podcast, thank you for joining. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for all your support. Please go to the website, join up, learn something, share something with your family of community ultra runners, and go out and run.